6, verse 36. Let's check out Jesus. Y'all know who that is, right? Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here where I go and pray over there." Then Jesus came, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply depressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." It's the second time. Then he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." All right, up to this point, this dude walked on water. He would speak so clearly and so powerfully that thousands of people would follow him out into the wilderness and not have any food. And he just took some little boy's lunch and busted it up into plenty for everybody to eat. He tried to get stoned. They tried to stone him several times and take him away, but the Bible says that he slipped out of the midst of them, or he escaped out of the midst of them. I mean, when this guy was born, the angels came and told the shepherds that he was there. Kings came from all around to bring gifts to the birth of this child. Such a cool dude, so important to mankind that we base our time on him, whether our time was before his birth or after his birth. I mean, this dude was a man's man. Not some skinny little old something or another. No, he's a carpenter. How many carpenters you know that don't have hard hands? Right? Been beat up a few times. Just hitting their hand or something falling on them or whatever, scratched up, scuffed up. So this guy in his life, this man in his life, he lived in such a way that nothing really seemed to get to him a little bit, right? Up till now. And he hits this spot in this garden, and this is right before he's betrayed into the hands of the Romans. This is right before Judas, you know, comes up and kisses him and says, "The one that I kiss, that's the one you're looking for." And he goes to God three times. Three times. And says, "Is there any other way we can get this deal done? Is there any other way?" And I know the scriptures don't say it, but the Bible does say that he became a man just like us and was tempted on all points just as we are, right? Y'all agree with that? And I know the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe that somewhere in him, he just really didn't want to do this. Because he had read the prophets of old. He had read the scrolls that said that he was going to be wounded for our transgressions. He was going to be bruised for our diseases. The chastisement for our peace was going to be upon him, and by his stripes we would be healed. So he knew. He read Isaiah. That's in the book of Isaiah. He read that when he was a kid. He knew how bad it was going to be. He knew. "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, almost to death. I'm hurting, guys. I need y'all to pray with me." This is the master. And I think about how many times we sit back and we go, "You know what, Lord? I just don't really feel like doing it. I just don't feel like it. Just don't want to. But we have to take the example that's given to us by Jesus whenever we get to the spot where we just don't want to. I don't want to try no more. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to try to take this next step. All I want to do is just go to church. I just want to go to church and sit in church and do my thing in church, and just that's just enough for me. When we get to that point to where I want to do this and I want to do that and I need this and mine and I, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Y'all got it on something. There's a fish somewhere in your house. And it's not that I despise that stuff. I just kind of despise what it's come to represent. It's come to represent a religious saying that we like to have. It makes us feel good. Put a fish on our car. I don't know. Do people still do that? Y'all still got fishes on your car? You got a fish on your car? Good deal, man. Slap a fish on it. Slap a fish on it and everything's good. I'm a Christian now. No. She's marked with it. She got it on her foot, tattooed on her. I just go ahead and get my fish, get my WWJD, and everything's all right. Whenever God's crying out from heaven, I mean, we just sang, we want more. He's screaming, I want more. I want more. Where's my more, saith Jehovah? Where's my sacrifice? Where's my due payment for what I did? See, Jesus was in a tough spot right here. This is a bad spot to be in. You finna die. He's finna die, and he knew it. And he just didn't want to. It's kind of like this morning. Memorial Day weekend. It's raining. You know what? I just don't want to. I just don't want to. It's kind of like being in Walmart and you're waiting in the long line. You ain't in the short line. You're in the long line. And they take it forever because they got four buggies. And then they want to do a price check. And then they say, no, it said this instead of that. And you sitting there waiting. You just don't want to, do you? You don't want to smile. See, this all ties in to messages that we've heard up till now. I mean, don't ever think that just because you got four or five different people preaching that it's not all kind of combined into one. The Holy Ghost is smart enough to tell me what to say to prop up for next week and tell Paul and Ginger what to say to prop me up for today. He ain't dumb. And so if we got this fruit that Pastor Ginger was talking about that we're supposed to be spreading everywhere, then you're going to have an opportunity to push this fruit out there and spread it to some people. Right? And it ain't going to be easy. Like Paul said, you're going to have to get in there and you're going to have to commit yourself and be consistent in a thing if you want to become that thing. If you want to push that thing out, right? And so today, we're going to talk about how that consistency engulfs and takes you over. See, Jesus is consistent. He was consistent. He was always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Consistent. But not only was he consistent, he took the eye out of everything. He didn't have eye disease is what I call it. Lord, if there's any way for this cup to pass, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. See, he's showing us an example. Okay, you got this fruit in you. You need to be consistent, but let me show you whenever it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, so we say. When it's really hard and really tough, whenever you're overdrawn in your checking account, you're 3 or 4 months past due on your payments, your lights just got turned off, your gas is off, there ain't no water coming into the house, your kids need food, clothes, and water, whatever the case may be, whenever you just want to go, well, heck with it, I'm done. Let's look at that spot for a minute, because that's where Jesus is at right here. He's in that place in his life, he's like, golly, I don't want to do this. I really don't feel like it. But what'd he do? He said, man, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, as a Christian, you've got to understand something. You don't belong to you anymore, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Oh, here we go. Look at that. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God, and you are what? Not your own. Next verse. For you were bought at a price. So you've been paid for. Huh? You've been paid for. Well, no, I'm free. Yeah, there's freedom in it, but the freedom was paid for. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We don't have the luxury any longer to walk around with what I want to do and what I want. Mine, me, you know. What is that? Mine. What is that? That was a show. The birds. Mine. Okay. So no. Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, that's a worship leader for you. He don't want to lead you in music. You're like, mine. Yeah. So we get the minds and the eyes and the me's, and golly, this is what I want. I deserve to be able to do this. That's what I deserve. Golly. Don't you know that you were bought with a price? Don't you know that you're not your own anymore? You ever thought about that? I mean, Jesus, the Bible says that he was the lamb that was slain before time even began. All right? So God slain him and cut him and made him a sacrifice before you were even on this earth. He cut the sacrifice and cut the covenant with Jesus himself, with himself, because he could find no greater one to cut the covenant with. So he had to come and be a man and called him the Son of God and live inside of him and let him walk on this earth perfect. And then he cut a covenant with himself because he could find no other to cut a covenant with. Then he took all of the blessings that were in that covenant and gave them to you before you were even born. He took the most precious thing in the entire universe and had it beat, had it whooped, had it cut wide open, sacrificed, and hung on a tree for you. And then we all realize this thing and go, yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Lord, save me. God, do this. Make me your child. Put me in your kingdom. I want to be part of your family. And yo, he pulls you in. And we still won't, now that I'm here, I'd like to do such and such. I want to be this. I want to do that. Can I do this? I want that. Oh, I want that car. That's a nice car. I want that house. Oh, man, those shoes. Lord, let me get them shoes. Am I making sense here? We're innately selfish. That's what mankind is. We go after self. And I've said it before here, but I'll say it again. The Church of Satan. Y'all know the Church of Satan does exist, right? They worship Lucifer, okay? Who is a fallen angel who fell from heaven. They worship the guy. In the Church of Satan, it's not so much about the lifting up of Satan. It's all about the fulfillment of self. Because Jesus came to live a life that was completely unselfish. So they live a life that is completely and totally focused on me, what I want, when I want it, and I want it right now. All the chains are taken off as far as inhibitions. You could do anything and everything that you want to do. And we teach this to our kids. You can be anything you want to be. Am I the only one that's ever said that? Right. Now, is that bad to tell a kid that they can be anything they want to be? No, it's not bad. But the better thing is you can be everything that God has called you to be. Because our children have a calling on their lives just as much as we do. Our children have a purpose in the body of Christ just as much as we do. No, you can't do anything you want to do. Ask Maisie. I don't let her do just anything she wants to do. I just don't. I say, no, you can't do that. Huh? Respect. So for us to enter into the kingdom of God and to have the thought that now that the chains are off and the prison doors are open and I can walk right on through, that I can do anything that I want to do and be anything that I want to be is wrong. You have now a specific purpose and calling in the kingdom of God. You do. Not me, not Paul, not Angel, not Ginger. You have a specific purpose and call. You are not your own. You were bought, paid for with a price. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Isn't this great? It's a good message. Thanks, Greg. You're awesome, man. People live their lives trying to become what they want to be. But if you would just become what or who God wants you to be, you'll be fulfilled in every dream, hope, and desire. Amen. 6 scriptures say this. Matthew 10:39, Matthew 16:25, Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, Luke 17:33, and John 12:25. They all basically say the same thing. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake we'll find it. Everything that we do in this new family that we have come into is all for the edification and glorification of our Master. Period. I had a meeting this week with some folks that are not here. And I heard I. If I heard the word I once, I heard it 100 times within a 30-minute conversation about what they wanted. I, me, this is what I want. This is it. Never did I hear what Jehovah wanted. Never did I hear the Lord told me to do this. All I heard was what I want to do. Galatians 2:20 is up there. Hey, look at that. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at that. First of all, you've been crucified with Christ, so you're all walking dead. It's a show. Now look at this one. It is no longer I who lives. I's dead and gone. I's been gone. Since the day that you was born again, I's been gone. It's gone. You ain't got I no more. I ain't there. I is dead because it was crucified with Christ. The life, but Christ lives in me in the life and now live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You got the distilled version back there? You can throw up for me real quick. Distilled. It's just like Jack Daniels. The distilled Bible. I guess they throw it in with some Jack, you know, and just let it sit there. Or maybe they put all of the Bibles in like this big barrel and set them up somewhere. Let them distill a little bit. Huh? Distilled water. But it's funnier with Jack Daniels, Devo. Nobody laughs at distilled water, but everybody laughs at Jack Daniels if you say it in church. That's why I like the evangelist Jack Daniels so much whenever he was alive. Like he said one time that he went to a church and they had all these people show up. They're out in the middle of the country. Like, it's one of these little small country churches, right? They had all these people. He's an evangelist, right? And his name's Jack Daniels. And they put on the sign, Jack Daniels and watermelon at 7 o'clock. And he said folks came from all over come to that church to see if they were going to give people Jack Daniels and watermelon at 7 o'clock. So Jack Daniels is just funnier in church. I don't know why. Look at the distilled Bible. Look what it says. Consider myself as having died, all right? So I'm dead. And now enjoying a second existence. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Wow. Wow. Man, you really, 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 really want to think about that one come Tuesday morning when you got to get up at 6 and go back to work. Oh, you got to go work in the morning? Even better. See, our lives are no longer ours. It's not us. It's not you. You don't get to do this thing. You got to lay down everything that you want to do. Now, Greg, how does this apply back into, if you remember, Paul was talking about consistency. He talked about some different people that were consistent in their lives. One of them, his name was Michael Jordan. Yeah. The other one was Tiger Woods, right? Tiger. The other one's Muhammad Ali. Yeah, he's going to drop in 3. A guy that I heard this week was Emmett Smith. I heard Emmett Smith speak this week. All of these guys, and I'm just using guys, and I'm sorry, ladies. Mary Lou Retton. Never mind. The kids are now talking. Okay, Serena Williams, whoever that is. So anyway, I know. Let me get to my point, guys. This is a youth group. You know, Matt's not here, so they're all going crazy. Anyhow, all of these people were consistent, right? They were consistent in the thing that they had devoted themselves to, right? So actually, if you look at Michael Jordan right now and you think about Michael Jordan, you usually think basketball. You don't think Michael Jordan. You think Michael Jordan as far as basketball is concerned. You don't think about him as the man. You think about him on the court playing basketball, right? And whenever you think about Muhammad Ali, you don't think about the man Muhammad Ali. You think about Muhammad Ali, the boxer. And Tiger Woods, you don't think about the person Tiger Woods. You think about Tiger Woods playing golf, right? It's because these people devoted themselves and identified themselves with a thing that was greater than them that they wanted to turn into and become. See, Michael Jordan identified himself with a thought of, you know what? I'm going to be the best basketball player that ever walked the face of the earth. So therefore, on Friday night when he was 19 years old and everybody else going to the club, you know what he was doing? Shooting hoops. Emmett Smith, whenever he was 6 years old, his daddy watched, I can't remember the running back's name, but it was running back, ran for the Dallas Cowboys, said, that's the best man I ever seen on the field, man. Look at that, son. Look at what he does. Look at this. Emmett Smith said on that day, he decided, you know what, I'm going to be running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And he identified himself with that persona. I'm going to be that. That's what I'm going to devote. I'm going to get rid of what Emmett Smith wants to do, because whenever everybody else is clubbing, he's out there running in tires. He's out there making 40s. He's out there running. He's out there working. He's out there working the plays. How does the play work? He's with the coach. He spent more time with his coach than he did with his friends. You want to know why? Because he wanted to become more than what he was. So he identified himself with something that was greater than he was. And now every year he would sit down and write how many yards he was going to run for that year. He'd write it down. Christian concept, by the way, Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision, make it plain so that he who reads it may run with it. That's why he did it, because the Bible said to do it. So he wrote it down. You know what else he wrote down? His first year when he was drafted, I did not know this, when he was drafted to the Dallas Cowboys the first year, because they moved him up, he was number 22, or the Cowboys was 22 in the draft, they moved him up to 17, drafted him, boom, brought him in there. He was too small to play football. Everybody say, you're never going to be able to play football, you're never going to be able to play the big show, because you're just not big enough. When he was drafted that day, he sat down and wrote his goals for what he wanted to be and what his spot was and his position and his role in the Dallas Cowboys becoming a good football team. What's my role? They were losing at the time. They had a losing record. And he wrote down, I will run more yards. It was whose record did he break? Come on, football guys. Walter Payton. I will run more yards than Walter Payton. He wrote that down his first year he was drafted to the Dallas Cowboys, not even supposed to be there. And he busted it wide open. Why? Because he identified himself with that. He got rid of who he was and became what he saw in himself to be. See, Jesus has asked the same of us. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me and uses my body. So what I have to do is I have to begin to identify myself with something greater. I have to start to see myself doing greatness. I have to see myself walking the way Jesus walked and talk the way that Jesus talked. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, he said himself, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. But we still just can't seem to get the I out of that scripture. I don't feel like it today. I don't want to do it. No. If we want to step up to the level of greatness, if we want to move up to the spot where God is like, yes, I can use that one. Yes, I want to. I mean, because how many? I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Okay, man, I'm ready to give you more, but you have got to give me a level of commitment so that I can take you to where I want you to be. I've got to move you from where you are to another spot, but I can't do that until you begin to identify yourself with the sacrifice that I provided. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You're brand new. When you get born again, you have to reintroduce yourself to who you are now. You're not who you used to be. You're somebody new. And if you screwed up 5 minutes ago or on the way to the church, you know what you do? Father, forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. Get it out the way. Boom, I'm righteous again. Hey, Lord, I'm brand new. The blood of Jesus just does not operate one time in your life. The blood of Jesus operates continually in your life. He is always there to pick us up. He's always there to take us to the next level. He's always there to move us on into what he wants us to be. We can't just stop and say, well, I screwed up. Oh, I messed up. We just can't do that. We have to get up and keep moving. You have to identify yourself with the master, the creator of the universe. Does this make any kind of sense? There's a book that I read. Man, it changed my life forever. It's called In Him, period. That's just it. In Him is a little big book. Cost me a dollar. I used to have a bunch of them. I gave them all away. I got to buy a new pack. It's a dollar book. Kenneth E. Hagin called In Him. It's got 130 scriptures that says who I am in Christ. Because I'm no longer on the vine I used to be. I'm on his vine. I'm engrafted into him now. So whatever he is, I am. Whatever he has, I have. Whatever he can do, I can do. And greater according to what he says. That's the vision that I have to keep in front of myself. That's the thing that I got to think about every morning whenever I get up. Okay, I'm going to be a little Jesus out here. Watch me. Christians, little bitty Jesuses, little Christs everywhere that we go. The works that he does, we do also. We're just so much like him that the Bible even calls us his body. I mean, does your body and your head go into the bank and open two different checking accounts? It's not a rhetorical question. Yes or no? No. Our bodies don't do things separately from our heads. They do them together. So if Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, according to Ephesians chapter 1, then why is it that we separate ourselves from him and act like that we're not good enough and act like that we're not him and that we can't do anything? No, we are in the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet on this earth. And if you screwed up, ask for forgiveness and move on. There's so much more that needs to be done. So much more. How much time we got? 15 minutes. I see that, Stephen. Thank you. That boy is something special, I'm going to tell y'all. Yeah, he rides a short bus. He sits in the front of the short bus. Excuse me. Don't you know that you're not your own? Don't you know that you belong to God? All right. How many of y'all in here have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Let me see, show of hands. He's your Lord. Stephen, you better raise your hand. Okay, so all of us have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, and we're no longer our own. We belong to God, right? Isn't that what the scripture said a few times before? So why is it that we blame him for defacing his own property? Huh? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? The Lord gave me cancer. No, which one of you would go into your own house and take a sledgehammer to the place and tear it down? Is there any man in this room or woman in this room in their right mind and thinking as they're supposed to think, walk into their home and tear the whole thing down? Anybody? So why is it that we blame him for all the stuff that happens in our life and act like that he's trying to teach us something and make us into something that we're really not supposed to be? Because none of that has anything, none of that identifies with Jesus. It doesn't click. Identification, whenever you talk about your identification, you pull your ID whenever you go somewhere. I mean, these guys over here, they can't wait till it says 21 and 18 and 15 and 16 and all the things. But they can't wait to get that ID that proves what? Proves they are who they say they are. Why? Because that identification is just like them. It's supposed to be the same. Right? You get pulled over on the road, on the way home. The police officer is going to ask you for your identification. Why? Because that is the thing that is supposed to mirror who you are. And I know we all lie on there and we put that we only weigh 215 pounds. We weigh 280. And the ladies put 95 when they're 125. Whatever. But that identification is there to be the same as you are. But so many Christians have been kind of like, do y'all watch Blacklist? Anybody in here ever watch Blacklist? You know what I'm talking about? Show Blacklist? I love Blacklist. It's a cool show. Anyway, there's a dude on there. His name is Tom. And Tom is just kind of a weird guy. And Tom kills people and all that kind of stuff. And you know, works for different folks. He's kind of a mercenary type. But anyway, Tom, at the beginning of the show, had this little box that he kept in the floor of the house. And in the box, whenever he'd take it out of the floor and in the box, he had about five or six different passports. He had about a dozen different IDs, you know, and had all these different papers on being a different person, depending on where he was going. And Christians, we kind of tend to do that. You know, on Friday night, man, yeah, we're going to pull out the ID to go clubbing because that's who we are tonight. And then we're going to pull out our other ID. We're going to go do this over here. And then I'm going to have my other ID on this over here. And we just have a bunch of fake IDs to get us into places. And we become fake and phony to everybody that we run into. And then all of a sudden, we hear a good message on Sunday morning. We get up Monday morning and we expect everybody to just take the real one. Whenever we've been flashing fake IDs all week before. There's no consistency in the thing. We don't identify ourselves with Christ. We identify ourselves with whatever crisis we may be going through at the time. We're looking for a crisis. We're looking for something to go wrong. We're looking for something bad in our lives so I can relate myself to that. Who are you? Well, I got back problems. That's me. I got back problems. I work at a bank. Huh? Is that my ID? Is that what I'm flashing when I go everywhere? Is that what I'm showing everybody? Or should I just be saying, hey man, I'm a Christian. Born again. Just like Jesus. You know Jesus? You know who that guy is? Yeah, all right, I'm just like him. You don't go to heaven? You don't be like us? Is this making any kind of sense? We search over and over and over again. You know, for this crisis that we want to get ourselves into, something to get ourselves into that's not of this, not that is of this world, that is not of heaven, that we want to get ourselves into and relate ourselves to that. That's who we are. Amen. The baby is the only one that gave me an amen. Let's go to, where am I going to end this, Lord? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I don't have that one, Justin, but let's do it anyhow. And we'll get out of here. I know it's a holiday weekend. And I know y'all are expecting a Memorial Day service, but this is the one that you got. I mean, it's good to remember who you are in Christ. I mean, you think about all the soldiers that gave their lives to have what we have today. It's because they identified themselves with something bigger than they were, and they were willing to lay down their life to have it done. From the Revolutionary War up till now, they believed in something that was greater than them. They identified themselves with it so much so they were willing to die for it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, anyone, anybody, don't matter. He, she, they, it is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I was looking at this message, and I was like, Lord, that's good stuff, man. Get rid of the I. There is no I in team. And I mean, I have been to all kinds of self-help stuff in business world where there's no I in team, you know, synergy and all this kind of mess. And so I was doing all this with God, man, and I just could not get settled on it. There's no I in team. He's like, don't say that. I'm like, okay. But there's not, Lord. Yeah, but don't say it that way. All right, well, what is it that you'd like for me to say? Pull up the word there for me, Justin. He says, say Christ instead of team. He said, because there is an I in Christ. He said, I've not taken away who you are. All I've done is I've just wrapped myself around who you are to make you a better I. But the I is still there. You still have the opportunity to decide not to do what I want you to do and to be who I want you to be today. He said, I still give you that free will. But nothing makes him happier than to see his people, his Christians, that he has wrapped himself around to choose to do what he's called them to do at that moment in time. The Bible talks about a sweet-smelling aroma of sacrifice that goes up to God. Oh, man, when we sacrifice self for the betterment and the glory of our Master, oh, that aroma makes its way all the way into the throne room of God. The angels themselves get to smell it and know that the children of God are moving and operating the way that God has asked them to move. What a sweet smelling aroma your sacrifice can make all the way into the throne room of Jehovah himself. So go ahead and let Jesus wrap his Christ around you. Identify yourself with him now. You're no longer yourself. You don't belong to you. You're not you. You is gone. You is history. You's a dead man. Re-identify yourself with Jesus, who he is, what he does, how he operates, because that is your goal. That is your Michael Jordan. That is your Tiger Woods. That is your Emmett Smith. That is your whatever this girl they were talking about over here. That is your Muhammad Ali, is being able to identify with and grow into Jesus. That's what WWJD really means. What would he do? And are you willing to sacrifice who you are to bring to pass what he would do if he were here himself? You willing to take that step? Are you willing to be that person? Amen? Got a video for you before we go. Talk about being a new creation in Christ. I always think of this scene in Rocky 4 when I talk about, you know, you. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Y'all go ahead and roll my little video clip. Turn the music, turn the sound up. Remember this? You were there, right?
It makes a man a better, a great athlete, a super athlete by harnessing all his strength. The most of the world is ignorant in body care. We wish to educate your body.
Would there be rumors of blood doping and widespread distribution of anabolic steroids in the Soviet Union? Has Drago partaken in any such experiments?
No, even his natural strength.
Then how do you explain his freakish strength?
Like you, Papa. He ate spinach every day.
Shall we have a demonstration?
Please.
And no more.
That's good. So I think about this every time I think about being in Christ. When I take my eye and I let Christ wrap himself around me, it makes a man a better man. It makes a Christian a better Christian. It makes it to where your punch can carry 2.5 times more because he harnesses all the power of heaven. Whenever you bind on earth, we bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He harnesses all the power of that and makes it available to you so that you can change his world. 2.5 times stronger and better and faster. More powerful. More earth-shaking. More hell-raising with a Z. You can move mountains if you just get in him and begin to identify who you are in him and begin to walk that thing out. See yourself as a super athlete, as a better man, and eat your spinach every day, which is right here. This is your spinach. This is your spinach. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us plenty to chew on. And we thank you for your peace, your joy, your love. We thank you, Father, that you make all things new. Use us, Lord. Use us. Use us. We have a new existence we would like to step over into, and that is simply Jesus using our body. So, Lord, we purpose right now that you begin to use us. And if you haven't been used in the past, it's not anything that you should feel bad about. All of us have to kind of do a rededication. Because there's always, whenever there's new revelation in a thing, then there's a new dedication to that thing. And whenever God brings revelation and opens your eyes to something, then you dedicate yourself to that God has shown you. So let's all just take a little while, because I know it's everybody in the room, because we all screw up and mess up and get off track and not on track and not doing what we're supposed to do. And even if we think we are, we're probably not doing enough of it and going the right direction and staying as consistent as we should. So let's all take a moment here to just rededicate ourselves to the call of God. Each and every one of us is called to a specific purpose, to a specific place, to do a specific thing in the body of Christ. And it's time to get it done. Playtime's over. It's time to get it done. Let's just do that commitment now. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody in here never been born again? We'll make Jesus the Lord of your life. Today's the day. We could do it right now, and it takes about 2.5 seconds, but it'll change your life for all eternity. There's also another thing that the Bible tells us, is that not only does Jesus save us and set us up and put us in heavenly places far above and gets us a ticket into heaven, but we can also have heaven on earth right here in this life. And it's very, 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 very hard to do all the things I've been talking about without having the help and the aid of the Holy Ghost. It's a separate experience from the salvation experience. It's one wherever your cup is not only filled to the brim, but it's running over, and it's running over on the outside of you and getting on the table and on the floor and going out the door and affecting other people. There is a running over that takes place to where you become effective to other folks. That experience is called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're wanting that, for sure we can get that to you today. Get it to you today. So let's all stand. Let's get on up out of here. Father, we thank you. If you need prayer after this, you come on up. I'll pray with you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We purpose today, Lord, no matter what yesterday brought, no matter what 5 minutes ago brought, we purpose today, Lord, to walk out your plan, to be everything you called us to be, to identify ourselves with you and do the works that you did. We thank you for this word. We'll be doers of it, and we'll walk in the blessing of it in Jesus' name. Amen.